Hello, my name is Harold Bigham. Romans 8, beginning in verse 5, says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." What kind of a mind do you have? Paul said that those in Christ have a spiritual mind. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Romans 8 and in verse 1. Those in Christ have no condemnation, since they follow the teachings of the New Testament. The spiritual mind follows the things of the Spirit. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Romans 8:5. The things of the Spirit are the teachings of the Spirit, which is the New Testament. Paul also said those who are not in Christ have a carnal or worldly mind. Romans 8:6. Philippians 2 verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Today, let us study about the mind of Christ so that we can have the same mind, so that we can be spiritually minded. First of all, notice with me the mind of humility. Jesus, in His great invitation to all humanity, said that He was meek and lowly in heart. Matthew 11, beginning in verse 28, says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is the personification of humbleness. We must be humble toward God and His Word. "Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Matthew 16:24-25. James 4:6 says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." We must be humble toward others as well. One time, Jesus taught His apostles a great lesson about being humble. John 13, beginning in verse 4, says, "He riseth from supper, and lay aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." Jesus then explained to them what He had done. Notice, so after He had washed their feet and had taken His garments and was set down again, He said unto them, "Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." John 13, verse 12 through 16. Jesus was teaching them the great need to be humble. He did not institute foot washing as an item of worship, but rather He was teaching that in our attitude and service to God and to other people, we should always have this mindset of humility. Let us have the mind of Christ regarding being humble. Secondly, notice the mind of unselfishness. Jesus was unselfish. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians 2:5-8. We realize that we cannot give our life for the sin of the whole world, John 1:29, as Christ did, since we are not perfect as he was. Yet we can have the mind of unselfishness. The early church had this mind. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Acts 4:34-37. The Macedonian brethren had the mind of unselfishness. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. 2 Corinthians 8:3-5. May we remember what Paul said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Acts 20:35. Again, Paul wrote, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Philippians 2:4. Let us have the mind of Christ regarding being unselfish toward others. But then let us have the mind of working. Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work." John 9:4. Jesus had reference to the work that he came to do while on earth. Jesus knew that his time was limited due to him ultimately dying upon the cross. The night cometh refers to his death. We must work while we have the time to do so. Galatians 6:10 says, "As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Paul said that we are to be busy in the Lord's work. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." 1 Corinthians 15:58. Jesus spoke clearly about this type of work. "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." John 4:34. When one obeys the gospel of Christ, one becomes a worker for the Lord. Paul would say, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Ephesians 2:8-10. Jesus went about doing good. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were pressed of the devil, for God was with him. Acts 10:38. Let us have the mind of Christ regarding working in the Lord's work. But then finally, let us have the mind of obeying God. Jesus had the mind of obeying his Father. Again, Paul would say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Notice, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, Philippians 2:5-8. Jesus became obedient unto death. He said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. Luke 22:42. The writer of Hebrews said, though he were a son, yet learn he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect or complete, he became the author, the cause of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Hebrews 5:8-9. Jesus learned obedience, and he will save those that obey him. Seeing ye purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 Peter 1:22. Let us have the mind of Christ regarding obeying God. My friend, the mind of Christ starts with the mind of obedience. God's plan reveals that after hearing the gospel being taught, that we are to believe and have faith. Romans 10:17, Mark 16:15-16. This faith leads us to repent of our sins and to confess the good name of Christ as the only begotten Son of God, Luke 13:3-5, Romans 10:9-10. The final step of God's plan of salvation is scriptural baptism for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. We are then commanded to be faithful even until we die for Jesus to go to heaven in the after while, Revelation 2:10. My friend, do you love God's Word? Will you consider our study today and then respond in loving, humble obedience unto the commandments of God? May God bless you, my friend, as you continue to read and to study the Bible.